before we start, do you have insurance?
What?
Your coverage good? Like, you have dental?
Oh, haha.
Is there a hospital nearby? Is it, like, too far?
It's about, like, 25 minutes, I'd say.
I just slapped you. Are you all right?
What?
Before we get started, please give that like button a little tap and hit subscribe if you like these reviews and want to see more. We'd really appreciate it as it will help our little channel grow. Also, check out our other shows on the Tummy Twins Media, Bonding with Mark and Andy and Tangent Station with Kevin and Willis. We hope to launch a couple more shows this year and hope that you'll stick around for more. This week, we travel to the Florida Keys in Roadhouse, the 2024 remake of the 1989 film of the same name. In this reimagining, Jake Gyllenhaal stars as Elwood Dalton, a former UFC fighter who accepts the job of head bouncer at the Roadhouse and finds himself in a tangle with the local police, the local bigwig developer, and the loco Conor McGregor in his feature film debut. Does Jacked Gyllenhaal win us over as Dalton, or is Conor McGregor's asinine behavior the standout of this film? Find out as we review Roadhouse.
Roadhouse. By the way, you said Jacked Gyllenhaal. It is Jake.
Jacked. Jacked.
Oh.
Jacked.
Darn it. Then I heard it. Oh, ignore me. Hey, we've wasted enough time, Gary. Let's jump into Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
Roadhouse. Should be a video game.
Kill him. Just another fighting game.
What is it? Finish him.
Yeah.
All right. I got some numbers for you, Gary, if you're ready to knock this thing down a notch.
Fire him off.
Fire him up. I'm going to fool him out of fire him up.
Oh, burn him up.
That's great. Rotten Tomatoes, as we always say, is our movie aggregator.
Agitator.
Agitator that we used. Roadhouse has Rotten Tomatoes has Roadhouse, the 2024 version, the new one, sitting at 59 with the critics and 54 with the audience. This film has not been well received. I have zero on budget and zero on box office because it was released to Amazon Prime, so there was no box office numbers clearly. Budget, I'm sure it's out there, but man, I just couldn't find it in all the places I usually do my digging. Yeah. So I have no idea what this is made for. Probably a lot, if I had to guess, because you got superstars like...
Go ahead.
And
cut there. Okay.
So you got Post Malone and Conor McGregor and Jake.
You mean
I'm sure Post? I'm sure it was spent. Somebody was spent. This thing was written by two gentlemen, Anthony Bagarozzi, and I may have messed that up a little bit, but that's as close as I'm going to get. And Chuck Mondry, they're credited with the write. There was another writer, but he didn't get any credit for it, so I'm not going to put him up there, so it doesn't matter. You would know Anthony Bagarozzi. He did a film called The Nice Guys. And that's actually sitting in the high 90s on Rotten Tomatoes. So he's done something. That's all I could find on him. As for Chuck Mondry, I couldn't find anything else except for Roadhouse. So this may be his first thing into this. Directed by a guy named Doug Liman. I had nothing else for him as far as director. He may have something. I just couldn't find it. Let me check real quick while we're talking just to make sure I didn't miss something. I mean, I don't know. It's got him listed as director and stuff like... Getting In, Swingers, Go, The Bourne Identity, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Jumper, Fair Game, Edge of Tomorrow. I'm sorry I didn't have that ready for you. That's a drop on my half there. But the guy's, it's pretty good pedigree.
That's a lot. I heard quite a few good movies in there.
Yeah. So my bad on that. None of that. But that's all I got for numbers. I do have a critic if you want to do that now or wait till the end.
Fine. I have a critic too this time. I picked one and I hope it's not the same one.
Could be Gary.
What is the name of yours you picked?
Could be Gary. Adam Campinar.
Good. Okay. You go ahead. I got one too.
Should we use it now or should we wait till we rip the film up? give an honest review of it.
I don't care. Whatever you want to do. You go.
All right, I'm going to go with my critic. This made me laugh out loud. Adam Campinar, top critic for something called Film Spotting. His review is rotten, and I chose it because I liked what he has to say about the film. He says, quote, I would never use a tired cliche like, quote, this movie makes the original Roadhouse look like Citizen Kane, end quote. But Doug Liman makes Rowdy Harrington look like Orson Welles.
Gee, I wonder why you picked that quote.
I don't know. It's a cliche for a reason, though, Gary, and that's why I think the man is brilliant.
Wait, who?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Whoever's compares this film to Orson Welles' classic Citizen Kane.
All right, my review that I found was also rotten. So my quote here I got from Vincent Mancini from Film Drunk.
Nice.
And he says, Jake Gyllenhaal briefly makes a Roadhouse remake feel like not such a bad idea. And then Conor McGregor shows up and reminds you that it is. I'm not going to bury the lead, but that actually kind of feel it's almost how I feel about it, but not quite.
Oh, really?
Okay. Almost, right. But not quite.
Yeah. So I've got some notes. I don't have a lot of notes. I took some, I think as you and I were talking the other day about this, I literally sat and watched the film. I tried to enjoy it. I didn't sit and scribble frivolous, you know, crazy notes on it, but I do have a few. And they're just, again, they're I always feel like I'm just a nitpicking at this point, trying to find stuff, but I'll say this. Yeah. The first one that I just didn't quite get was I just didn't buy the young lady as the bar owner. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. It just didn't feel right to me. It feels like in the grand scheme of things, if you know what the movie's about, why she's having such struggles, I feel like she just would have sold it and walked away.
Yeah. Okay.
That's so just me.
Before we go too far down that path, can I just read something to you that I put together real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
After watching this, I wanted to remind myself of the old film.
Okay.
I'm just going to tell you right off the bat that I am not like some sort of diehard Roadhouse super fan kind of guy.
Yeah.
I've seen Roadhouse a few times. I like the movie back in the day. But it wasn't one of those ones that I'm like, this is sacred ground. What the hell are they doing? Make it.
Yeah. Right?
I just didn't care. I mean, I was like, ah, cool. Update it, you know, whatever. But I thought what would be interesting was to tell you a couple of just a few details. It may or may not be interesting of the differences between the 89 film and the 2024 film.
Oh, go, man. Let me sit back.
So first, I got characters.
Coffee. Let me get my coffee,
which you may or may not know. In this film, we have Elwood Dalton, but it's actually James Dalton in the 89 film. Still Dalton, different name.
I see the difference now. Now the movie snaps into focus.
The 89 film had Frank Tillman as the guy that hired Dalton.
Yes.
And this one, it's Frankie. So we got Frank.
Wow.
And Frankie.
Mm-hmm. So, I like what you're doing there.
So they pulled some of this together. The Elizabeth Clay was the love interest in the first movie. In this one, her name is Ellie. So you've got another one.
Okay.
Brad Wesley is the dude that's kind of the developer guy or the guy that runs the town, I should say. In the 2024, it's Ben Brandt. And we've got the hard ass in the first movie was Reno. And the badass in this movie was Knox. Places. Mm-hmm. We went from Jasper, Missouri. Mm-hmm. To Glass Key, Florida, which is not a real place, but they place it in the Keys. I actually have to say I did like the idea of updating like the location. I thought that
you don't
that
think was, Jasper, Missouri is a hot spot for.
I thought that updating the place to a non like a place where I don't think it would be as dated looking 20, 30 years from now, where I think the first movie looks super dated. Double Deuce was the name of the Roadhouse in the first movie, and this one we get the Roadhouse.
But did you catch the Double Deuce?
But the Double Deuce is a restaurant right next to Glass Books.
Boom.
Yes. And Emmett's Barn is where Dalton stays.
Yes.
And he stays on the boat in 2024 film.
And aptly titled The Boat.
Yeah, right. Because the father of Frankie was not very, or uncle or whatever he was. He was
The audience for this film was so stupid that they had to actually tell him that's a boat. That's the boat.
This is where Andy insults the Roadhouse 2024 audience. He didn't realize that his own audience was comprised of 96% of the same people who like Roadhouse, and this ended up marking the day that Flick Flops died. Over the coming days, Andy and Gary couldn't regain the momentum that the tens of viewers were giving them, and slowly their numbers trickled so low that even their families stopped watching. It was a sad day.
Maybe. Maybe in filming, they were like, I don't know what to call it. Let's just go with that.
It's just an opinion. That's not a
fact. When they go over to the Roadhouse, it's just called the Roadhouse.
Look, Liza, I mean, I'm exhausted already writing this film.
So what you were saying then was talking about Frankie and not buying her as like this bar owner. Why wouldn't you just move away if you're getting all this hassle? What's the big deal? I felt like it was kind of important to look at the motivations behind the character, because I felt like the motivation of Dalton should be why stick around. These guys are going to try to kill me. Why would I even bother sticking around here? And so you've got the motivation of the first film of Emmett's house, the old guy that he was staying in the guy's barn.
Yeah.
They set his house on fire, and that makes him, that pushes him over the edge.
Yeah.
Kind of deal. In this one, it was the bookstore, Charlie's bookstore, the glass books, which was, so the motivation for Frankie, I have no idea, but at least they tried to put a little bit of motivation in for Dalton and why he would stick around, because really halfway through it, you could be like, why is this dude even staying? There's just no point.
I mean, what for me, I just figured it was the money, because she's paying him, what, $5,000 a week?
Yeah.
And plus, he can kick everybody's ass, so why not? I mean, clearly, if you look at, when I think of world-class ass kickers, well, you think of people like Stallone and, you know, Stallone and Jason Statham, of course. And then you see Conor McGregor, who just is like, he literally is a world-class ass kicker.
Right.
And then, you know, four on that list, I would have Jake Gyllenhaal. I think you'd be it's a fool's errand to try to find someone better than the four people I just listed. Fool's errand, Gary.
Quote
that.
It's humorous to me that that's where we're going to go, because then we could probably eliminate just about any action film star.
Oh, pretty much. Yeah.
I just wanted to throw those notes in there before we kind of talked about the whole thing, because I thought maybe if we talk about motivations or anything to do with the places, we got a little bit of a difference.
Yeah, man, that's good. I'm glad you did that. That's pretty cool. I would have never taken the time to do that. Although I will say this, that I like the original Roadhouse. I'm not a homer for it, but I liked it. If it's on, I'll watch it. I get a kick out of it. It's an action film. My biggest question, and this is not just with this film, this is with Hollywood in general. Why, for the name of all things holy, can you not just have an original thought? You know, you can write action films all day long. Why do you have to call it Roadhouse? And again, I'm not going to argue, oh my God, I'm defending the honor of the movie Roadhouse. I'm not. I'm just saying this just could have been anything. Why did you have to use Roadhouse? And it's just, to me, it's cheap. It's pandering to a previous audience. Like, oh, we're going to get him back in. But I think what you open yourself up to is a bunch of harsh criticism. Because I've seen some of the critics have just been brutally hard on this film.
I suppose for the in the aspect of, well, we could always make that argument. Why is there not more originality in Hollywood, and why can't they come up with an original idea? And I think a lot of motivation for them is a built-in audience to some degree. Sure. I mean, that's why they do all the Marvel stuff and all that. But this one, I don't know. Sure, yeah, you're gonna draw the criticism of people that love the first movie so much. Their diehard fans are gonna be why make a new one? I don't land in that camp though. So for me, I was kind of like, I'm intrigued to see it.
Yeah. I'm intrigued. The right word. I was like, oh, I want to see this film. I mean, I just, again, as I'm watching, I'm just like, you could have called this anything. It could have just been called anything. You know, I mean, we see it all the time. You can probably find, if we give us time, we could make a list of films that are all identical. They've just changed the name. I mean, The Beekeeper or The Accountant. It's a very similar film. Just some guy, or any Liam Neeson Taken film. It's the same formula, or The Equalizer. They're all the same. I like those films. I just like that it's not called, you know, Equalizer with Jason Statham, Equalizer with, you know, Bob Odenkirk, what is called Nobody, Equalizer Nobody. It's like just a different film. And I'm okay with that.
It's interesting that you named two movies that sequels are coming out for.
Yeah,
Nobody has a sequel coming out, by the way, and so does The Accountant. I don't know if you knew that.
Well, doesn't everybody have a sequel coming out?
Sure. I just thought those are two movies I enjoyed. I was like,
And I'm okay with that because it's a continuation, same characters, blah, blah, blah. And I understand Roadhouse, you couldn't do it. Patrick Swayze, God rest his soul, is no longer with us. I understand all that. It's just, and it's petty. It means absolutely nothing. I'm just like, this is a Hollywood thing all the time. It's like every superhero film was basically the same movie over and over. You're just putting different costumes on them. And I'm like,
yeah,
come on, Hollywood. You are the land of creativity.
Well, no, they're not anymore.
Look, I've said this, and you could probably give a complete, we could probably do a whole episode of you listing better books that are out there that just go buy the rights to this book and make it into a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus Christ, James Patterson has like 85 novels out. There's a shit ton of material seen that's already done. You just have to make it into a film script. It's done. Yeah. I mean, it took forever to get Reacher out there and made into something decent.
Yeah.
It's like that's again, a built-in audience. Two, 26 novels. You got plenty of storyline.
Yeah.
Any hoodles. Let me get back to what I didn't. I found a problem. I didn't buy the Doctor and Dalton's relationship. I just didn't see any appeal between these two. Like, at least in the first one, Swayze and, what was it, Kelly Lynch? Is that who it was?
Yeah.
You kind of felt some of the sexual tension there. I felt none of it with these two people. Like, I felt like it's just being, even Teresa watches, she goes, why are they forcing those two together? I said, I don't know. I don't understand any of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do I know, right? I'm some guy sitting in a basement in Nashville running his mouth. I said to you the other day, the accents threw me off. It seemed to me that there were people drifting in and out of different accents. And this film was set in the Florida Keys. So I wasn't quite sure, like the doctor made it clear she was born and raised there. But yet she seemed at one time had an English, Irish slight accent. Or maybe a Jamaican. I don't know. It's just an accent I couldn't quite place. I looked at Trace. I was like, did she just slip into an accent? Is she like Madonna all of a sudden? She just, wherever she's at, the accent. Again, it's nitpicking. I know. I'm stupid. Stop talking. But I'm not. I don't need to give examples. I think it speaks for itself if I just say Conor McGregor's acting. And we'll just leave it at that.
Oh, no, we can't leave it at that.
The man, he walks a little funny. And then someone pointed out to me, our friend Bobby pointed out to me, that's actually how he walks. I was like, oh, is it really? I thought that was acting. He goes, no. If you ever watch him, I was like, oh, so he walks like a douchebag.
I don't know that much about him, but I feel like he had to have played it up a little bit more, surely.
It feels like it. I mean, and look, Connor, if you're watching this, no offense. Sure. I'm not trying to, I don't need an ass whipping by you. I'll concede that you would break me in half. Got it. But you walk a little like a douchebag. Gary said that. Oh, I didn't. I'm just repeating his words. I liked there's a point in time where the massive bar fight happens and people are destroying the bar and the band just keeps on playing.
Yes.
Never stops.
Which is in the first one too, by the way.
That's how it stops.
Yeah.
This isn't the Titanic.
I thought it was funny that the whole bar is practically cleared out and they're still playing. Yeah. Like they're all fighting outside at this point and the band's still in there playing their tune. But I mean, it's like the name of a paycheck is a paycheck.
So, right. It's like the name of a Night Ranger album, Gary, and the band played on.
We're playing three sets and damn it, we're going to play. We're getting paid for three sets. We're playing three sets.
Yeah, because no band ever wants to leave early and get paid the same. That never happens.
Oh, shoot. Yeah.
So then the final thing I'll say is, and this is, I don't know, we can talk about it, is the realism gets thrown out the window with these action films. And I'm all on board with accepting a lot of things. But like, and I think you and I talked about it, there's a scene in the fight where Jake or Godalton throws the owner, the guy who's trying to buy the property, against a table, like a bar. So this is the bar, this is the guy's body, and it buckles this way, his body does. And this is his back. So his back bends in an unnatural way. And I said to Teresa, I was like, now that alone, I said, I don't know shit about fights. I've not been in many in my life. I've never been in a bar fight. I've never been slammed into a table like that, but I'm pretty sure that would break your spine. Just
or at least give you a really good back crack.
And the guy just, they just keep getting up, and I'm like, I know it's unrealistic, and I know this is a dumb argument. I know that, but it's like, I don't know. Just wrap some of this up. I mean, make it real. Like, these guys can't keep taking these hits. I mean, look, I've watched UFC fights, and the punches that these guys were landing, I mean, McGregor doesn't get up from some of these fights. So, and I know as an audience, we're hungry for these long, super drawn out fight scenes. I get it. I don't know. It's just a little bug in me that bothers me. It's like, okay, come on. This is
It has to be over the top because it's the climax of the movie. You know?
So is that us as the audience? Are we expecting that anymore? We need more, bigger, better, longer. Do you think it's on us?
I don't know. I don't know what to think about that. Maybe
Get mad. I don't yell at the TV, but it's could be
that there's desensitization. Is that a word?
I like it.
Violence. And that you kind of have to overplay it or overdo it each time,
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. I have no idea. Yeah. I will tell you, I don't know what more you've got. I only have two notes. We'll wrap around the scores. I actually like Jake Gyllenhaal in this movie. I like him. I thought he's to always pick some interesting roles, and I thought this one showed a lot of charisma. I felt like and some humor to him. Most of it didn't bother me that much like it bothered you, but there were two things that did bother me. I did put, and I'll read the two notes that I have, but you've kind of already touched on them. The ridiculous over the top chase and fight scene, which is the climax of the movie, I put that in there. I had an easier time overlooking it than you did, but there was one thing that bugged me, was that in the beginning of the movie, he got stabbed and was just bleeding a ton from getting stabbed. In the fight scene, he got stabbed too, maybe 2 inches away from the same place he had been stabbed before. Not that much blood. Kind of stopped bleeding in the middle of the fight. Like, what's up with that? Like, that's just a little, like, I can live in your world with your rules, but I feel like there has to be consistency to those rules.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm getting at. Is I'll buy it, but like just.
Yeah. And then the other thing I put, the biggest issue I had with the movie was Conor McGregor's quote unquote acting. I put on paper, it might have looked good to somebody, but on screen, it's the awful cockwalk over the top strutting around that lands. It's either you love it for the sheer madness of it. So you know, if you think that over the top Conor McGregor acting, quote unquote, if you love that kind of thing, then you're going to love this. For me, I thought it was just awful. I thought he was terrible in the movie. I thought it ruined the movie for me. Although he did elicit a chuckle from me when he kept anything he was driving, he was wrecking instead of just stopping. He's just wrecking. You hear him wrecking all the motorcycles or whatever. And he runs right into a tree with something else. And it's like, that actually kind of made me laugh, but
because he's over the top, bro.
Anyway, that's my two major notes. Was really the crazy fight with the stabbing, and then the Conor McGregor ridiculousness. I think I kind of know about the realm that you're landing in, but I think we're going to be different on this one. So I'm curious. Would you like me to go first, or
you go first? I'll see what you hit.
I actually, Tara watched this with me, much like you had. Teresa watching with you, and we enjoyed it. I actually enjoyed the movie. I thought it was fun. Again, the Conor McGregor thing was just ridiculous, but I overlooked that and the fight enough to where it was like, it's just an enjoyable action film to me. And I like the stuff. So I actually went with a 1.5 TP, one and a half TPs.
Yeah. Wowzers. It's wild stuff there, Gary.
I'm kind of feeling like I'm at the opposite end of you, but let's find out.
No, not too far. Again, even after my kind of rants and that, what part was just in general Hollywood rant. I give it 2.5.
Okay.
Like you, and again, I have friends that I've seen their Facebook posts just ripping this film apart. I did enjoy it. I don't understand the need to call it Roadhouse. You could have called it anything else. That's just dumb to me. It's lazy. It's Hollywood being lazy. We sat and watched it. I mean, it's not a bad film. Again, I think if you're really going to rip it apart, you're probably comparing it to Roadhouse, the original.
Yeah.
And again, you and I say this all the time, and I don't want to be that guy. Sometimes you can just watch a film and let it happen. You don't have to be super hypercritical of it. And this film overall was enjoyable to me. I had no problem with the film. You know, I had a couple of notes, but they're nothing. None of these notes are a hill I would die on.
Right.
You know, I didn't buy the relationship. Okay.
Who cares? But you make an interesting point that I didn't really put it into context till just now that I realize I am curious to see how much of the bad press or bad reviews on this movie are by using the edits in comparison to the first movie.
Yeah.
Because you're right. Maybe if it was a different name and it just had a similar, names were different, but a similar thing, you know, I wonder, I don't know.
You could have called it, you know, whatever. And at the end you'd say, well, this was reminiscent of Roadhouse, but not a bad action flick.
Yeah.
Instead it's called Roadhouse. So now it's an instant comparison.
Yeah.
And I think people, whether we like it or not, we go into a film and we're locked into, well, let's see. I know what Roadhouse is. Let's watch it. It's like, well, it's nothing like the original. It's like, okay, well, see, now you're in a problem now because you're pigeonholed the film that it's been knocked down before it even gets a shot.
To a degree. Yeah. Like I said, to me, I'm, you know, the original wasn't something that I was like, I'm not going to fight over that movie at all. Yeah. So for me, it wasn't that big of a deal, but I could, I could see if you're a huge fan of it, why remake it? But absolutely. Whatever. So
yeah. What are you going to do?
That appears to be all I've got on that.
That's it, man. I'm done.
All right. We are finished. Thanks everybody for watching. Please like, comment, and subscribe. We say it all the time, but man, it would really help us out because we're trying to get our videos in front of as many people as possible. And we've got some new shows coming that we're really excited about. And we still have Bonding and Tangent Station currently also on the Flick Flops.
Yeah.
Or Tummy Twins, I should say.
Yeah.
This is Flick Flop. What do we do? Anyway, thanks a lot. Did you see Roadhouse? Give us a comment. Let us know what you thought and tell us we're wrong. Let us know.
Yeah. Chime in, hosers. This has been a Touch of Madness production, brought to you by the creative minds at Tummy Twins Media.